You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
All right, well, this message today, if you're taking notes, is called Get Gritty. Turn to your neighbor and say, get gritty. Get gritty. It's from our cultural distinctive of who we are as Audacious Church and Audacious people about being fiercely determined. Now, let me unpack what that means. The definition for us of being fiercely determined is this, saying we have grit and resolve in all we do. We are not limited by the scale of the task or the obstacles that we face. We think solutions, not problems. And grit, defined by the dictionary, it means this: courage and resolve, strength of character. And so I want to suggest this morning to us in the next 20 minutes that in order to do all of the exploits and the things God has put on us corporately as a church and individually as Christ followers, we've all got to have some grit. We've got to get gritty. Turn to your neighbor and say, get gritty. Get gritty. Now, think with me onto moments in your life where you've had times where you've been really tempted to give up, to throw in the towel, to call it quits, but you've made a decision not to. The start of this year, I had this incredibly painful toothache. Oh my goodness, it was rough. I had antibiotics for it. I was using like a cold migraine patch for my cheek to try and take the swelling down. I was necking paracetamol, ibuprofen. Like I was, you know, just taking whatever I could to try and get this pain down and get it sorted. And my miracle in motion is in part thanks to an awesome doctor we have in the house, Dr. Beth, who's a dentist. Dr. Beth, why don't you jump to your feet? Give us a little twirl. There we go. Dr. Beth the dentist. So with all of this pain, I've gone to see Dr. Beth the dentist. And she said, Pastor Lee, I'm so sorry to let you know, but we're going to have to do a root canal. Oh, I know. So it sounds painful, and it doesn't just take one appointment. In fact, it takes 3 appointments, plus my consultation appointment, plus another appointment for a filling in the other side of my mouth. So 5 dentist appointments. And I'm sat with Dr. Beth on the first one for the root canal. And she's injecting all of this numbing stuff into my face. It is like crazy, just trying to numb it. One injection, the next injection. And I forgot to tell Dr. Beth that I'm quite squeamish when it comes to needles. Now, I am that guy who passed out when he was getting his COVID vaccine. I kid you not. That was me. Lying on the ground, feet in the air in the D-side ice rink that became the vaccine center. I am that guy. You think I would have told Dr. Beth as I was getting this injection that I'm quite squeamish. So she's injecting it and I start to feel a little bit weird, a little bit funny. You know when you start to feel yourself going a little bit white in the face, green, a bit, whoa, what is going on? And so I asked Dr. Beth, I said, Beth, am I going green? And she says, I wouldn't say green, I would say more purple. And in that moment, I just see the stars and they spring into action and I'm like practically about to die in this moment. So they put the chair back. The assistant called M. She runs out, the nurse, to get me a sugar cube to revive me and bring me back to life. You know, if Beth was, you know, a Holy Spirit-filled Christian, she would have prayed for me and I would have come back to life in Jesus' name. I'm kidding, but the sugar cube came in and rescued me. And I'm lying there on the chair. My hands are tingling. It's so weird. It's a bad day at the office on appointment number 1 of my root canal. And in that moment, everything within me just wanted to call it a day and say, thanks so much, Beth, for your time, but I'll just take the whole tooth out, get it over with, get it done, let me go home, call this a day. But then I heard your laughter on Sunday morning. I saw your faces front row laughing at me at the thought of me giving up at the first hurdle. So then, excuse the pun, I grit my teeth, made a decision, and we got two appointments left this week, don't we? And it's going to get fixed in Jesus' name. Come on. And so it was so easy. The danger for me, I wanted to give up, call it a day, call it quits. But in that moment, I had to make a decision to grit through and endure the process. There's many people who've been at that same junction as us throughout history. I think of Albert Einstein, who could not speak fluently until the age of 9. His rebellious nature got him kicked out of school. He could have made a decision to call it quits at that point, but he chose to get gritty, to push through, and we now know him as a genius. Michael Jordan's coaches could not get over the fact that he was too small and not at the minimum height required to play basketball. But Michael Jordan, instead of quitting, made a decision to get gritty, powered through, and now we know him as the greatest of all time. I think of an incredible lady called Carmen Herrera in 2004, and at the age of 89, she was finally discovered after almost 9 decades of painting from age 12. And never being able to sell a single painting, she became the best new artist in the world that year. In 2020, catch this, at the age of almost 103, her paintings sell for over $1 million. She could have given up, but she made a decision to stay gritty and look at the result. For many of us in our lives, this is what it looks like coming up on the screen. We're powering through, we're digging, we're pressing on, we're trying to get through. But the reality is, it's hard work. It takes strength, it takes stamina. And it would be so easy to give up like the guy below, but look how close he is to the diamonds that he was digging in the first place. And I want to suggest today, church, the danger for us is that if we don't start to get gritty, start to get fiercely determined, we might be a couple of swings away from the diamonds and the treasure and the breakthrough that God has on the other side. So for all of us today, I want to implore you, don't give up. Don't quit. Instead, get gritty. Martin Luther King Jr. says this: if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, keep moving forward. Today, that's a word for some of you. Keep moving forward. And there's three things today I want to suggest for all of us that we've all got to do if we're going to get gritty and we're going to get the breakthrough that I believe God's got for you and got for us on the other side of our journey called faith. The first thing is this, is we've all got to start with why. Start with why. Luke 9:51 coming up on the screen says this, and then Jesus resolutely set out towards Jerusalem. There's a moment on his journey right now, his ministry, where he's now focused, laser focused on the task at hand towards Jerusalem. In other words, in this moment, Jesus has vision and Jesus had a why. Well, what is vision? Why do we need vision? Let me tell you. Vision is a picture of the future that produces passion. Vision articulates possibility. Vision doesn't exist within the realms of what is. It exists in the realms of what could be. Vision belongs to those who dream and dare for a better future. Jesus had vision. In fact, Proverbs unpacks vision like this. It says, without vision, people die. That's a crazy thought, isn't it? Without vision, people perish. The Israelites wandered for 40 years across the desert. They died in the generation past because they had absolutely no vision, no why, no direction. But look what happens when you've got a why. A why is what causes Rebecca to walk 50 steps down to the well and 50 steps back up in order to water some camels to unlock her destiny. A why is what causes the Apostle Paul to endure hardship and famine and shipwreck and flogging and prison and isolation and lack, all because he's got a vision and a why and a direction. So today, I want you to get some vision for your life and start with why. Because when you've got a why, nothing is impossible. A why is what sent Jesus from heaven to earth, from a baby in Bethlehem to a man on the cross, from being confined in a tomb to a risen Savior. And Jesus resolutely sets out towards Jerusalem. He's now laser focused and locked into his why. And he could endure the cross because he had a why he was there in the first place. What is it today, church? You can grit through, you can endure, you can press through, all because you've got vision and a why in the first place. For all of us, if we're honest, we need moments to be reminded of the why, don't we? Jesus had that moment too. Son of God, fully man, he's reminded of the why. Let's pick that up in Luke 22, verse 41 to 44. It says, he, Jesus, withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them and knelt down and prayed, praying this, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. This is the why. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus right now is at the Mount of Olives. It's Last Chance Saloon. He's thinking about the cross that awaits him. And he's thinking about the pain. He's thinking about the trauma. He's thinking about what he has to go through, but he remembers that there's a why behind the scenes. I'd rather not to, yet not my will, but yours be done. I'd rather not push through this awkward work situation, but God, I know you're doing something behind the scenes, so I'm going to stay focused on the why. God, I'd rather give up on the business adventure. I'd rather not to. It's painful. It takes too much cash. There's too much focus, too much time. But I remember the word that you spoke to me, so I'll stay laser focused on the why. God, my family are a million miles away. I'm just going to give up praying for them. But then you remember the why that God spoke to you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. With a why, you can push through anything. What is your why? What is the vision for your life? Because you can't get gritty unless you stay true to your why. The second thing I want to suggest in 8 minutes and 50 seconds, God bless us all, is this, is don't get distracted. If you're going to get gritty, don't get distracted. Last week, Lisandra and I took Zaina and we went to Rome. And I spot a shirt in the crowd that says ciao on it, very on point. Thank you very much. We were in Rome, had a great time together. It was beautiful, beautiful trip. And we made this beautiful little Insta video highlight reel. It looked amazing and perfect and no drama with Zaina at all. But as many of you know, if you're a parent, that's Instagram and reality is something else. And so when we landed in Rome, it was chaos, really. We were one of the last flights. We got there about midnight. We came out into, you know, front doors of the airport. It was chucking it down with rain, pouring it down. And the taxi rank queue was so long, filled with tons of people. And I'm trying to jump the queue. I'm looking for an Uber on the phone, trying to get an Uber to pick us up. Nobody was available or replying. And I'm thinking in this moment, how are we going to get to our hotel in Rome? There's no taxis. It's raining. It's chaos. And so last minute, praise God, I ran across to the bus depot and there was a bus leaving to get us to central Rome. I was like, yes, it's 12 at night, chucking it down, but we've made it. Praise God, and then we get to outside the train station, and there's this really helpful man. Just as soon as we get off the bus, he's like so helpful, isn't he? He's got a little badge that says, "I'll help you for free. Accommodation, taxi." I'm like, whoa, this guy's just so kind. 12 at night, Saturday night in Rome, what a nice guy. And he's like, "Yeah, I'll take you, show me where you need to go." And so we show this guy, and he says, you know, he didn't speak much English. I definitely don't speak any Italian, but I'm sure, Ben, I heard €3.80 to take us down the road. I'm sure I heard it, positive in fact. And the distance he had to take us in the rain was literally from church to the football club down the road, like a minute, 2 minute trip, not even kidding you. It's raining outside, we bundle into the car, we've got Zaina, it's late, we arrive at the hotel, we get out, and he looks at me and he says, "That will be €27.80. And it's chucking it down with rain. My wife and daughter are in front of the hotel. There's no staff there because it's a late check-in. We have to use a code to get into the building. All the bags are on the ground. I'm literally shocked. I'm like, I see why you had a little free badge now, buddy. You've hooked line. So anyway, I decide, you know what? I'll just pay him the money. We'll get in. It's late. Get into the hotel room. Think that's our drama done. And we're putting Zaina down to bed, and Lysandri asks me, "Where's Zaina's baby bag?" Which has her milk, has her sleeping bag, has her clothes, has her nappies, has her bib, has everything you would need to survive in Rome. I look around the room, I step out of the hotel, look on the street, the baby bag is gone. Everybody say, uh-oh. Bad day in the office. We've got a couple of clothes packed aside, some nappies and wipes, but that's literally all she's got. She was in this car with a duvet on the first night. Like, this was us just, first night she was with us. Yeah, she was in our bed first night, which was awful, climbing all over us. Second night, she had the duvet. We've lost the bag, dramatic. But then I made a decision to grit my teeth, and where there's a will, there's a way. Emailed the bus company, got no reply. Showed up to the bus the next day, which doesn't have a depot, and the guy had no idea what I was talking about, said there's different drivers, probably won't get my bag. Next day, speak to a different guy, he's no help. That night, speak to a third guy, and he says, "I'll give you my number, and if I find it, I'll let you know." 24 hours later, we get a message from this guy saying, "I've got your bag." So our Rome trip was restored, praise the Lord, got everything back. Miracle, man, it was awesome. Not awesome at the time, awesome after. But what happened in this moment was I got totally distracted by this geezer trying to flog us a cheap taxi. Totally distracted. You've been there too. Totally distracted, looking in the wrong direction. There's this context in the Bible. This is a really strange chapter. I'm going to read it to you, these couple of verses about distraction. Luke 9:47. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. Then he said to them, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me, for it is the one who is least among you that is the greatest." Now, context, talking about a little child, right? The disciples next say this, "Master," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he is not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said, "for whoever is not against you is for you." Don't get distracted. Whoever is not against you. It's a weird context that's taken place. Right? Jesus is talking about a little child coming into the kingdom of God. And then out of nowhere, John over here is talking about casting out demons. It's a really weird switch of narrative how this conversation literally goes from naught to 100 in the matter of 30 seconds. And the disciples here are totally distracted by what is going on over there than what Jesus is saying to them right here and right now and being present in the conversation. Jesus rebukes them because they're more concerned about what is taking place over there, over the fence, than what is taking place right in front of them in their lane. And so I want to ask you in the context of this, have you gotten distracted from the big why and God call for your life? because we're busy scrolling TikTok. It's good for them. Facebook, great for them. Looking over their neighbor's fence, oh, their grass is greener than mine. Let me pursue a career like theirs so I can get the income and I can get stuff and I can be happy, distracted by what is taking place in our immediate and online and in geopolitics and all around the world. And the disciples are so distracted, they missed listening and hearing the voice of Jesus. What happens when you're distracted is you shut out the voice of God because you're so focused on what is in front of you. And so you live a small boxed in life instead of a perspective kind of life that sees things as God sees. What is it that you've gotten distracted on? What is the why for your life that we, like Jesus, should stay fixed and firm and secure on? Today, I want to encourage you to get gritty, not get distracted, and focus on the goal. I think all of us need reminded of our why, don't we? And when we're on the journey of being reminded of the why, pursuing God, let's not get distracted, but let's stay laser focused, because we're called to live fiercely determined, not frequently distracted. And with all of the noise of society, they want to get our attention. They want to tell us, try this, go here, do this, listen to this. But church, let's remain anchored, like Hebrews says, in the word of God, firm and secure, like an anchor for the soul. Remind yourself about the last thing that God said to you. Remind yourself of the why, and with vision, get gritty and don't get distracted. Amen? The last thing, the band can join me. The last thing we've all got to do to get gritty, we start with why, we don't get distracted, and then there's no turning back. Turn to your neighbor and tell them like you mean it. Say, no turning back. No turning back. Some of you will know this story, a lot of you won't, but when I first moved over here, I packed everything into a tiny Fiat Punto car, all of my livelihood, just to join our young church as we were launching here. And I was volunteering as a youth pastor at the time. I was working in some other jobs, other gigs, other stuff going on. But my car broke down, my Fiat Punto, my beloved, trusty, blue Fiat Punto broke down. The exhaust fell off. It was a bit of a nightmare. And I had this moment. I took it to the garage. They said it was a write-off. You're sorry, son, but you're not getting that car back. I was just out of Bible college, really. No money, no savings, not much going on financially in that sense. And I remember walking from Saugle, where I lived, down that, shout out to Saugle, down the cycle path, all the way into town to go and get my Fiat Punto back and do what with it, I don't know. And I was crying out to God. I was saying, God, how can I be a youth pastor? How can I see the kids when I've got no car? How can I do this thing? Crying out to God, giving him a sob story. And at this moment, I had this feeling that maybe I should go back home. Maybe I should turn back. Maybe this was a sign. Things weren't lining up. I had no car. Maybe it was God trying to tell me it's time to go back to Northern Ireland. And what happened that week was, unbeknownst to me, some family came to visit, and they, without telling them the story, they noticed my car that was limping along with the exhaust hanging out and the vents not really working and the windows that wouldn't come down. And my family in that moment, beautiful story, and my granny, in fact, gave me some money to go and get another car, praise God, which was a miracle for me at that time, huge miracle. And so I could continue to be the youth pastor, which is great, isn't it? And then what happened was, after that, I came on staff at church. After that, I met some incredible people here. We've done a pop-up now. We've done school stuff. We've moved into this building. I met my wife, Lizandri, hello, whose league's, you know, out of my league. I've got a daughter. I've got friends. I've got purpose. I'm part of an amazing, all of this stuff wouldn't have happened if I had went back. And there's this account of someone in the Bible who's on the brink of turning back. The Bible says this in Luke 9, 61 to 62. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family? Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. A man says to Jesus, I'll follow you, but first let me go back. And Jesus in this moment is speaking to commitment, heart, and what it really looks like to follow him. And we don't really know what happens next, whether the man does go back to his family or if he sticks it out with Jesus. But what we do know, he's on the brink of turning back. And many of you today, you might be on the brink of turning back. The job God provided for me is just hard work. I'll go do something else. I need margin in my budget, so I'm gonna stop the tithe and stop giving. I feel distant from God, so I'm just gonna engage with the world. The miracle hasn't come yet, so I'm gonna try another religion, try another thing, try another church. Transformation seems way too difficult, so I'm just gonna remain the same and turn back. And I wanna challenge us all today. What miracles might we miss if we turn back? What breakthrough is on the horizon that we're gonna bypass if we turn back? What youth ministry are we gonna build if we just decide to turn back? I wanna suggest today, church, don't turn back. Because miracles in Jesus' name are on the horizon of your life, are on the horizon of our church. One of the prophets says, when his assistant said to him, he looks out across the landscape, it hadn't rained for many years, and he sees nothing but a small cloud. But the cloud was a sign that God's promise and his word was on its way. The miracle was on the horizon. Would have been really easy for the prophets to go home, turn back. Would have been really easy for Paul after the first flogging to turn back. Would have been really easy for Jesus after the crown of thorns were thrust onto his head to say, thanks, but no thanks. Would have been really easy for the disciples when at the threat of crucifixion upside down to turn back and try something else. Would have been easy for Thomas not to go to India and spread the gospel and be martyred. It would have been so easy for the early church fathers to not contend for the word of God in their day and age. Would be so easy for us to live lives that appease the narrative of social media and the culture that we live in. Would be so easy for us to turn away from our business, from our family, from our marriage, from our kids, from our youth ministry, from our young adult ministry, from our kids coming. It would be so easy. Of course it would. But we belong to people who have grit. Oh, and when the going gets tough, we don't give up. But with one foot in front of the other, like Martin Luther King Jr. said, you might not be in a season of flying. You might not be in a season of running. You might not be in a season of walking. You might be in a season where you're just crawling through the trenches, crawling through the mud, just trying to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But I declare, I speak over you today that the miracle is on its way in Jesus' name. But to do that, oh, there's no turning back. Start with why. Don't get distracted. And then, no turning back. Here's what the Bible says really quick as we land. In Romans 8, verse 11, it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. If you're a Christian today, the Spirit of God lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. So today you've got access to the Spirit of grit, the Holy Spirit, the contender, the advocate, the Spirit of God that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you. We don't need to understand it theologically, although that's important, but we've just got to accept the Word of God as matter of fact in this context. Say, well, the Bible says in many places the Spirit of God lives in me. And so like I preached the other week, there's two natures. We've got to decide to lean into the Spirit, lean into the Spirit of grit. And when going gets tough, we lean in to the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. So whatever you need in your body today, it's the Spirit that can bring healing and miracles in Jesus' name. Whatever provision you need from heaven over your life, lean into the Spirit of God. Might not look rosy tomorrow morning, might look hard, might look difficult The obstacles are still there. The Goliath still stands. The walls of Jericho are still towering over you. But by grit and by faith, no turning back. Going to school this week. Going to our mission field, our place where God has called us to bring the Spirit of God so that this section wouldn't just be this section, but would take over the whole church. Oh, and then we'd have to do double services, triple, quadruple in the new building, not just because the adult congregation is growing, which we will, but because classrooms are getting saved. Because even though they give you stick, they give you abuse, they call you every name under the sun, you make a decision. My why is as for my class, they will serve the Lord. I'm not going to get distracted and I'm not going to turn back. Come on, church, what is it? What is the why? What is the why? What is the why? Because all of us need a why in order to get gritty, to not get distracted and not to turn back.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.